Our scripture reading today is from the Gospel according to Matthew, from the third chapter, beginning at verse 13. You will find it in page 3 of the New Testament of your pew Bibles. Lord, open our minds, prepare our lips, and open our hearts to God's sacred word. Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Hear what the Spirit is saying. Thanks be to God.
So I want to thank you for the opportunity to be with you this morning, this great church, and all of my expectations have been met to this point. I want you to know that, and I appreciate the welcome and the way in which we've worshiped together already, and the way in which we have sung together and prayed together and greeted each other. And what we're doing today is an important act that I hope is happening in every United Methodist Church in the North Texas Conference. Unfortunately, I do not have the power to dictate that that happened, but nevertheless, I wish it were so, and that is a renewal of baptismal vows. And later, we are going to have an opportunity to do that, and it becomes a way in which we are reminded about who we are and whose we are. But prior to that, I also want to speak a few words and also read a passage of Scripture for you from the prophet Isaiah. This was a latter addition to the plan of which I did not inform anybody about. It's what you get to do when you're a bishop, I guess. So from the 43rd chapter of the prophet Isaiah, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. And when you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God. I am the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Because you are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you, and I give people in return for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not fear, for I am with you." Will you pray with me? O Lord, in the silence of this moment, prepare our hearts and our minds to hear your word for us this day. Work your will in our lives. Amen. The naming of children becomes a very challenging task for expectant parents. It also becomes a challenging task for everybody around them because everybody has an opinion about what a parent should name his or her child. Part of it's selfish, I think, because a parent wants to make sure that the family name is included or perhaps their own name is included. On a number of occasions when our older daughter and our son-in-law were expecting their first child, I wanted to find a way in which Michael could be a part of that name. I failed. And then I decided the more important thing was to determine what I would be called. Instead of foisting on a name upon a child who would not be mine, I would be the child's grandfather, and I wanted a name to which I could answer to and be very proud of. And so I had all kinds of names in which I wanted to be called. At one time, I wanted to be called Big Mike, and I thought, I don't like that name after all. And then I decided, by the way, Joan initially, she wanted to be called Fave. And the reason she wanted to be called Fave is because there was somebody who was going to be a favorite, and she was determined that she would be the favorite grandparent. But I decided, by the way, that's not what she's called. By the way, I decided that I would let our firstborn grandchild, name me. He's baptized. He's not speaking then. I baptize him. A year passes. I still don't have a name. He just sort of looks at me like this stranger who comes to Los Angeles occasionally. He's really nice to me. But he was a year and a half old. And we were on the lawn of the Getty Center in Los Angeles for a children's concert. And Knox was somewhat excited about the concert, as excited as a 1.5-year-old knows how to communicate. And when we were asked to do certain things by the artist who was playing the guitar and singing and encouraging us to sing along, I got caught up in the things that Knox was caught up in. And I started yelling, pop, pop, pop. And about a minute later, he turned around and he pointed at me and said, pop, pop. And the next morning when he got up out of bed and I was the first one up, we sat in the den and he began to refer to me as Papa. And then it became Papa. In many ways, that's a name I love hearing said. Not by you, by the way, but but by my grandson and my other grandson. Names have a way of capturing us, don't they? We answer to our name. We want people to know our names. Do you hear what it is that the prophet Isaiah said? I have called you by name. You are mine. 2,600 years ago, the prophet was saying this to the people of Israel, and then he said some other things. I will be with you through waters and fires. And immediately when people heard those words, they knew that in the midst of the chaos of their own lives, whatever was happening, that God would be with them. And just because those things were happening does not mean that God had deserted them. We live with a kind of impression somehow that as things are going well, we sense that God is present. But it's even when things are not going well, in fact, the chaos of our own lives in which we begin to know and hear, I am with you. You are mine. Baptism is a very simple act. It requires water, a human being, and the Spirit of God. There's nothing complicated, nothing complex. It is just a human being, water, and the Spirit of God. The story, which we know well in terms of the baptism of Jesus, I always wonder how it is that people knew what had happened. I mean, nobody was sort of at this time taking down everything that had happened to Jesus, what Jesus was doing. They didn't really know at this time who he was. And I can imagine that a year into their sojourn through the Galilee, finally one night around the campfire or some other place where they were, somebody said, hey, Jesus, how did this get started? I mean, how did we get from you calling my name and asking me to follow you to what started this? And he tells a story probably went something like this. Well, my cousin John, you've heard of John. Yes, some of them had followed John. And then he told the story you've heard. He said, I went because I was drawn to go. And then when I was coming out of the water and I'm brushing the water out of my eyes and out of my hair and shaking my hair dry, I feel this stirring in my soul. And it's the stirring in my soul is confirmed because I hear these words. This is my beloved son, with whom I am well pleased. Hearing those words from a deep stirring in one's soul or heart, or then Jesus is clear that he has a mission. I'm the beloved one. I'm the beloved one, and I have a mission. If we were to baptize a child today, we would let it be known that that child has a mission. If we were to baptize an adult, we would let that adult know that he or she has a mission. But there's another party who also has a mission. And that is this congregation. For 30 years, as I served as a pastor in a congregation and I baptized an infant or an adult, I said the same words after the baptism. Today, you have been baptized. And through the sacrament of baptism, God has made known God's claim upon your life. God has a dream for your life. And God's dream for your life is that you become a faithful follower of Jesus. But in order for you to become a faithful follower of Jesus, then you're going to need to know the story of Jesus so that his story can become your story. And this is where we all have a part. And all of us gathered here together, we make a vow and covenant with you and with our God to tell you the story of Jesus so that his story will become your story. You see, an act of baptism is not something just happens randomly or happens just between one person with no one else around. It's because the act of baptism marks someone. You don't get a brand, but it does mark you. It marks you as a member of a community faith that somehow has a mission. But it also marks the community, because they too have a mission. And that is to tell you the story of Jesus so that his story will become your story. But the story of Jesus, when it becomes alive in you, is not about you. It's about a host of people we don't know. It's about a world that cries out for transformation. It's about understanding that sometimes, as impatient as we are, is how slowly things come into fruition or how slowly justice happens. It's knowing that we will get there, or our heirs will, or those who come behind us. You see, we don't know how long it takes for God, through us faltering human beings, to bring about the kind of justice and community that God desires. It's important for us to realize that no matter who we are, what we do, where we come from, that in the sacrament of baptism we've been marked, just like Jesus was, as beloved. Throughout my pastoral ministry, one of the things I realized is that the struggles that people had in terms of their own lives was because to live into their baptism was difficult. Because somebody had told them somehow that they were not beloved. And as we come today to the waters, someone will say to you, remember your baptism and be thankful. What I'd like for you to reply in turn, what would really be the claim of baptism upon your life is, thank you, God, I know that I am beloved, no matter what anybody says. A number of years ago, my first pastorate, I met a man by the name of Joe who I saw every morning at the post office. It was one of the early morning stops in Joshua, Texas. Joe said to me, would you come and visit my wife? And then I learned the story I visited his wife who'd had a stroke shortly after they moved to this small town. And then he told me a story. He said, I've never been to church, but I've always known that God loved me. But I worked for Lone Star Gas, and I had to work on Sundays, and I got off one Sunday, and it was my daughter's confirmation at the First United Methodist Church in Wichita Falls. And I was going to go, and I bought a new suit, and then there was an emergency, and I couldn't go. I promised my wife when we moved and I retired, I would go to church with her, and the first week she had a stroke, and I've cared for her every day for 10 years. Joe's wife died. He asked me and a pastor of another denomination, let me just leave it like that, to do the funeral. And at the close of the funeral, when the family was passing by and gathered there, Joe was crushed. And the pastor said to me, you know why he hurts so much? And I said, because he's lost the person who loves him the most. No, he's a man with no hope. And my stomach turned. Later that week, Joe dropped by the office and he told me the whole story. And he said, you know, I was going to join the church on Palm Sunday when my daughter was confirmed. And Palm Sunday's 3 weeks away. Can I be baptized and join the church that day? Yes. And I said to Joe, Joe, here's the thing I want you to know. We're only making public what's always been true. And that is, you're a beloved child of God. He loves you no matter what. He said, thank you. 88 years old, kneels on the chancel. I baptize him. His daughter, her husband, his granddaughter, her husband, and their baby were all there. And everybody who knew Joe in town knew that he'd been baptized by 6 o'clock that evening, including the pastor who said he had no hope. It wasn't a moment of pride for me, but it was a moment of somehow fulfillment to meet my friend the pastor later. Everybody has hope. We should be careful about drawing the lines. Today, you are a beloved child. And like all of God's beloved children, there is hope. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen.